Welcome to another edition of The Work. I'm Ryan Basham. Our producer, engineer, and haysayer is Keith Johnson.
Hey.
And here's your host, Bonnie Gillespie.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode 6 of The Work, where it's all about the work. Of course,
it
you
is.
Can join us at Twitter at @the_work, or that'd be twitter.com/the_work. Man, it's very complicated. You can also join us all the time at podcastingthework.com, and we're very excited that we've had a few people register and post some comments. So things are getting going there, and we feel like we're here. We actually have a new piece of graphic design that has come into our world,
Yeah. Thanks
to Randy Raphael, who will be a guest on our show episode 8. All right, so here we go. We've got a bunch of news to talk about. There have been a lot of cool things going on in the industry. Also going to give a little tip about keeping your survival job to yourself when you are a hyphenate or someone who's working in this industry who also has to keep a survival job, and some tips about that. No special guest this week, so it's just us.
It's just us.
So let's get right into the
news.
That's
all you need, though.
That's really all you
need.
Take us home, Ryan.
All right, let's get into some award stuff, my favorite topic. Ricky Gervais says the Golden Globes have invited him back to host for a third time.
Shocker.
Shocker, right? Deadline.com reports he wrote up like this postmortem thing in Brit Magazine, and he went into how they've asked him back and that he says he didn't go too far, and he hasn't actually encountered anyone he actually offended, and...
I can't imagine that anybody who acted offended was actually offended. I mean, it's
sort
of like a roast. You hope they're going to say bad stuff about you, because if they don't, that means they haven't been paying attention and they don't love you.
Yeah, he says he doesn't think he should go back. Although
really?
Well, yes. Well, according to what he wrote in Brit Magazine, and I think ratings were up somewhat from last year. But
which he also hosted.
Yes.
Okay.
The word on the street, though, is that his original idea for the opening was to come out in a Hitler costume, walk out very slowly, stand at the microphone for a minute, and say, "Too much?"
I kind of love that.
I know.
I kind of love it.
It's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then say, "That's the last time I borrow a suit from Mel Gibson."
I kind of like it.
Pretty phenomenal.
Oh,
pretty phenomenal. Moving on, Melissa Leo goes rogue with her own personal campaign ads, according to Deadline. This is really phenomenal. If you've been watching the trade, she has her own ads she paid for herself. So.
Now, and these aren't cheap. Like, ads
expensive.
In the trades are like 10 grand for a full page.
At least.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
So she's probably spent several dozens of thousands. Where does she get that money? She's not making...
I can't
is she
even.
Making that much money?
She certainly didn't make it on The Fighter. Like,
no.
That was an indie film, so...
No. Nor, what was her previous one? The one that was about... Took place in the cold place? I don't know.
It took place in the cold place.
That's all I remember. All I know is that her film took place up north during winter, and then Winter's Bone came out
a
year or two later, so Sundance tends to like things that are in cold places, I guess. The photos are really great. She looks kind of fabulous in faux fur and these sequiny dresses, and which is clever because she doesn't play that character, so it definitely highlights a contrast. I think she's going to win.
But do you think she would have, even without doing this campaign that's going to be terribly expensive and may even erode her reputation with people who think that you should only be promoted by the studio?
This is not the first time that someone has put out their own ads and won,
but
I think that after winning the Golden Globe, I think it started to really look like she was going to win anyway. I think it helped, but there's nothing wrong with having insurance.
I guess I just don't know that it's insurance to create your own advertising. It's sort of those self-congratulatory ads. It's better if your agent takes them out on your behalf, or your publicist, or...
But you know, all it says is consider ... in her picture. And in the very corner, like little in the corner, it's like tiny font, it says melissaleo.com. And if you go to melissaleo.com, which I did, it's a very low-rent website.
You.
It worked for me. Unfortunately, I'm not an Academy voter. But, you know, it's like when Halle Berry put out this film...
Catwoman?
No. God, don't get me started. The one about the schizophrenic character...
Catwoman.
Oh, God. That was supposed to be her Oscar bid this year. That was all her doing to put it out in this cycle. And I don't think that helped her, but I think it depends on how you do it. I think it depends on who you are and how you frame it and how you do it.
And if it doesn't erode your brand because you're already kind of folksy, let's say?
Sure, yes.
Yeah.
If you're going to win an Oscar, the people who are voting have to like you as a person. And I think what she is doing is respectable. So,
all right, cool.
We'll see.
I don't hate.
I don't hate either. So Gwyneth Paltrow, Mandy Moore, and others are bringing music back to the Oscars this year, the one-year experiment.
I'm so excited about that.
I'm excited about that, too. I really enjoy Gwyneth Paltrow now more than I ever have. She won in 1998, and back then, for Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, sure.
Then I was like, God, you know, it's Gwyneth Paltrow. She's pretty, but seeing all the footage from Country Strong and seeing her actually sing on the Country Music Awards and all of that makes me really respect her.
She's a little legit.
She is.
Yeah.
Even after Goop. Queen Elizabeth has given her royal thumbs up to the King's Speech, according to Huffington Post, which I think is phenomenal.
Not going to comment on a royal thumbs up.
A royal thumbs up.
I bet that's pretty funny.
The film is about her father, and she said she was moved. So I think if they needed any other endorsements to take it home...
It's done.
It's done deal.
Yep.
Moving on to the WGA Awards, Christopher Nolan and Aaron Sorkin won top honors. And in his acceptance speech, Christopher Nolan called for the WGA to reverse its longstanding policy of excluding scripts not produced under jurisdiction of WGA. Moving on, the AP reports that a budget-conscious Beverly Hills has laid off their ambassador.
So what does that mean exactly?
So the ambassador of Beverly Hills is this guy who has been, for years and years, running around downtown Beverly Hills in a red jacket and a top hat. He's on all of their visitor information. He's on all sorts of city documents. He's kind of the face of the city, and in order to save money, they have laid him off. And now he's 51 and looking for a job.
Aww.
Isn't it? And he's launched this campaign now where he's asking anyone who's ever had taken pictures with him to email those pictures to the mayor's office.
Oh, I kind of love that.
Because they've asked him to forfeit his hat, his jacket, and any rights he has to pictures of him.
Oh,
as their ambassador.
Not cool.
Yeah, not cool at all.
I don't like that at all.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe he'll come back. I can't imagine he was being paid that much.
No, which is even bigger smack in the face that they're going to try and take away his pictures and hat.
It's not like there's a
jacket.
Union for that. So, moving on. So the rap reports that studios aired a record of 14 trailers during the Super Bowl.
Crazy.
Isn't that insane?
Crazy.
Trailers for movies.
Trailers for movies. Yep. 14 of them during the Super Bowl.
I think that bodes quite well for how much money the studios have.
Well,
it also lets you know that yeah, the entertainment industry is back. The money's coming back and flooding into.
It is.
Yeah.
So Paramount had 5. 20th Century Fox had 1, Universal had 2, Walt Disney did 1, and Relativity Media did 1. Interesting, and they had a record number of viewers for the Super Bowl, 111 million viewers.
I love it.
Which is pretty phenomenal.
I watched, did you watch?
I watched the halftime show, and I'm going to go ahead and put that in air quotes.
Okay.
Because what was that?
It was loud.
It was loud.
Yeah.
I put on my Facebook, I said, you know, this is a big stadium, so instead of singing all of my band's greatest hits, I'm just going to yell them at people, which is basically what they did.
There you go.
You know, they weren't paid for that, though.
No, they're not, because they get so much exposure that they figure they're going to get money just handed.
Well, they got exposure.
They did indeed.
They got mixed reviews at best.
Yes.
So
I've seen whatever. Some of both. So.
You know, I have to say, Usher descending from the roof or whatever was cool. That I enjoyed.
So you like the fly-in?
I like the fly-in. I liked when the dancers' costumes lit up.
And I saw a tweet that said, you know, it's nice to know that it doesn't take showing a nipple to have a wardrobe malfunction. There were people who really did not like the wardrobe at all. And it did. It looked a lot like Tron.
It did. Tron meets, well, I guess it doesn't even meet. It's totally
it's
the
Tron,
80s all
yeah.
over that place. So, whatever.
Before we leave the Super Bowl stuff, I want to talk about the ads that had aired online.
Oh, that's right.
Before they aired on the Super Bowl. Because so many people, myself included, tune into the Super Bowl if your team's not playing. And I'm from Atlanta, so my team's rarely playing. Super Bowl 33, we had time, that you can go in and watch the ads, and that's a big part of the experience of watching the Super Bowl is watching these amazing ads, and you see things that are insane. They're just so great. And two things. One, I noticed there really wasn't any major leap in technology in any of the ads. There wasn't one that we walked away and today started talking about, oh my God, this amazing commercial, and look at how they made a leap in technology, and now I have a newfound appreciation for CGI or whatever. There was none of that this year. And then on top of it, so many of the coolest ads we had seen online because they're part of a contest or they got leaked a week ahead of time. For what purpose? To try and get a viral fan base going, or?
I think the point in creating a creative ad is to have it talked about. So launching it early, if that gets buzz, if it gets written up, if it gets passed around, it's worth it.
I disagree.
Do you?
Yeah, I think that there is much more, especially with respect to the Super Bowl ads, there's much more cachet in surprising people than...
None of these commercials were actually surprising, were they?
No, and that's the problem.
So if they had been more blow-you-away style, then it would have been worth holding off.
Right. I mean, you know, I think the biggest surprise ad was the GoDaddy ad with Joan Rivers.
Oh, really?
The biggest surprise.
Well, that's not saying much. Joan Rivers is...
I didn't say it was a big surprise.
I mean, I love Joan Rivers, but...
I didn't say it was a big surprise.
Fair enough. Well, I will say this. Saturday night, I was with my friend, and he was so enthused about the Volkswagen ad with the little mini Darth Vader.
But that's been online for days. Like, people have been passing that around like crazy.
He made me watch it twice.
Yeah, people are loving that one. And the little kids being interviewed on Entertainment Tonight.
That wasn't a little kid. That was a chimpanzee.
A little kid. No, how can you tell? The monkeys were in another ad, honey.
No.
On NPR, I heard the guy who created that commercial talking about it. And the day that after it was leaked.
Leaked is the wrong word. It was released.
He dropped his daughter off at school, and another kid at the school who was like 6 or 7 came up and was talking to him about how great the ad was, and then explained it to him like he didn't know. I mean, of course she knew he created it, but that was what a 6-year-old would do, is tell you about the thing you just did.
That's pretty cool.
So I think it's a mixed bag. You can't rule it out.
Is this a sign of a change in the times, and that it's now no longer the I can't wait to watch the Super Bowl because all these ads are going to be so magnificent, and now it's whenever it leaks, if it finds its online audience, and if it's like the Old Spice ad that gets passed around to millions of people online, that's more powerful than being viewed once. All at once.
I think in the 90s it was that way, but if you are only going to watch the Super Bowl for the ads, you're not going to watch the Super Bowl anyway. You'll wait until after the Super Bowl and they're online.
And I thought about that too. There was a moment where I went, oh, I need to go jump in the shower, and I thought, oh, I'm going to miss ads. And then I said, it's all right. All the good ones are going to be online in a minute anyway.
Yeah.
And I actually had that thought, and I think you're right. It's a sad shift, though, and I wonder what that does for Madison Avenue.
How long does the buzz around a Super Bowl commercial last, though?
Well, if we think back to the Old Spice commercial last year and the Snickers campaign about being a diva or being whiny and all that, I mean, like, those have extended past a year.
Well, but that's as a result of continuously airing them. If you only intended to do a Super Bowl commercial for the first 13 weeks or whatever, how much longer after the Super Bowl do you get the benefit of those ads?
1984, Macintosh.
Good.
Okay, so
the first, well, I'm doing air quotes here, people. The first Super Bowl ad was 1984, the Apple Macintosh. And to this day, that is played on the internet somewhere and people talk about it.
That was a revolutionary commercial.
But is that the rule or the exception? My point is, if there is a standard shelf life for a Super Bowl commercial, notwithstanding any truly exceptional ads like the one you're mentioning, does releasing them early add to the total time? Because if you know you're only going to get so many weeks out of that commercial, are you actually expanding the life of that commercial by releasing it early?
And then the flip side of that is, here's what I'm wondering, is if we launch it at Super Bowl, then do we create weeks of gotta share it after? And so did they dilute it a little bit by sharing ahead of the Super Bowl, or did they get an extra week? And that's what I'm wondering. They may have missed the moment of, I can't wait to share this with my friends, because that really is, the share button's a very powerful thing. And I think people can't wait to share something they're excited about. And if instead it's like, oh, that's right, my friends were already posting this on Facebook last week, there's not the impetus to share it.
Not just that. The real issue that we have to look forward to in this industry is, are those leaked ads online counted against the time that the commercial is allowed to run by the contract?
That's a very good question.
Ooh, good union question, Keith Johnson.
And I think that we will have an answer to that question once we merge the actors' unions. And the answer will be, hell yeah, it does.
That's going to be interesting.
That's a very good question.
Good question. Great. All right.
Well, I will say this and then we'll move on. Shareability is only valuable if you can share it as soon as you see it. So, even if they don't launch the commercial a few days before, it needs to be online and ready to share soon as it airs.
Yeah. It's just like a celebrity obituary.
Everybody wants to be first to say that they heard somebody died.
Well, moving on. AOL and Mark Burnett are teaming up to develop comedic shorts based on Cliff's Notes books, according to Deadline.
I'm so on board with this.
Isn't that neat? And it's so in the way of what independent, self-starting people have been doing for the past few years in creating their own work. It's pretty phenomenal. I mean, I imagine their budget will be much higher.
Yeah.
But they're going to be covering the works of Mark Twain, William Shakespeare, Charles Dickens, and others in humorous, irreverent, animated shorts that will present the plots, characters, and themes of said works.
So my question is this then going to be a lot like the Reduced Shakespeare Company and the Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged?
Probably, but they couldn't just wholesale. It would have to be a little bit unique, wouldn't it?
Huck Finn in 10 minutes? I think that's great.
Yeah, I think that's what they're doing. Were I that producer, I would want to at least uphold a portion of the educational factor there.
Whole new generation of people watching videos online to cram for their tests at school.
Yes. And then, of course, their teachers watch those videos and make sure that the questions they ask on the tests are not covered.
The smart teachers will.
The smart teachers, indeed. That's true. I don't understand the computer.
What a statement about our American educational system.
Oh, God. In other AOL news, the LA Times reports that AOL is buying the Huffington Post for $315 million.
Shocking.
As a part of the deal, Arianna Huffington will oversee a new AOL division responsible for bringing together all editorial content from both companies.
Do you love that they announced this during the Super Bowl?
Yeah, of course.
Like, let's try and have this not go on anybody's radar.
It's over the weekend, during the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. trying to miss the news cycle entirely.
Yeah.
Arianna Huffington will have a much bigger platform now. Isn't it interesting that 10 years ago, AOL was a new media company, and now they are the old dogs buying a new media company?
How is the Huffington Post a new media company?
It's kind of...
It's not even close to a new media company. It's older than Rupert Murdoch's socks.
Aww. Well, that's only because he wears them once and throws them away. Speaking of Rupert Murdoch, News Corp is considering spinning off MySpace, according to the LA Times. I mean, to whom?
But really? Can I please? Will you spin me some MySpace?
I was
it's
considering...
It's so 2007.
Spinning off my used pizza boxes, too.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I'd be happy to look after MySpace for you for $3.
Yeah, I can't even.
Yeah, that's what I happen to have in my pocket. Well, more power to them, but, you know, they're going to continue to lay people off, and they will eventually crumble and die. It's sad, but it's true. The Huffington Post is reporting that the Arrested Development movie is coming this year.
They have been talking about this for years.
Yes, but they've been saying there will be no movie.
Well, it's the same thing that many big franchises do, that when they, especially if it's a successful television show that went away, they'll say, when's the movie? And people love to say, no movie, because they can drive up their salaries with that negotiation tactic.
Well, the roadblock was Michael Cera for a while. He held out for a little while, back I think in 2009, but I guess now he's attached. Because it's moving forward.
Because he didn't get cast in The Social Network. His doppelganger did.
Well, I think that was the right casting choice.
Oh, totally.
So it is what it is. Moving on, CNN.com reports that James Franco is bringing Three's Company to Off-Broadway.
Come and knock on a door. I love it.
This is on the heels of, he did this kind of art installation thing at Sundance where he did Three's Company, a drama, in which the show's first three episodes were given a dramatic movie makeover and then screened in a recreation of the character's living room.
I'm down.
Isn't that phenomenal?
Yes.
They say it's going to take a couple years to put up, but I just think that's just the neatest thing. He's 32. And he just does whatever the hell he wants, mm-hmm. which is pretty great.
Yeah. We don't see a lot of that.
And he teaches at Harvard, and it's ridiculous.
He's having a good life.
He just does not care what anybody thinks.
And that's working.
It is. And he's still sexy. More Rupert Murdoch news. The Hollywood Reporter reports that Rupert Murdoch is launching The Daily, an exclusively digital newspaper that has a subscription fee of 99 cents a week or $39.99 a year for the iPad.
Now, I haven't checked this out yet, but one of my tweeting friends, Brett, read it, went and checked it out, and he tweeted that he was really excited about The Daily because it really clearly was going to win Best Zine of 1999. that's how cutting edge the technology was. And, considering Rupert and all his MySpaciness, that sounds about right.
Well, you know, it's nice that in February of 2011, Rupert Murdoch could catch up with what's already been happening for years and years and
Very
years.
Good.
So good for him, I guess. Wrapping up the news. Paramount's In Search makes its first micro-budget buy. This is the division of Paramount that was formed around what happened with Paranormal Activity being such a success for under $100,000.
Right.
And so In Search's edict is to create more films in the same budget range.
I am so on board with that. Considering how many films I've cast that have been under $500,000, that's huge.
Well, I think this is great. They're going to have to show their hand eventually because what happened with Paranormal Activity is that they kind of created this false sense of let's earn distribution for this film by demanding that it be played in theaters, which in reality was a marketing ploy on behalf of Paramount to get people to believe it was a grassroots effort. Eventually, they're going to have to come up with a different way to market these cheap films.
Sure.
But whatever, so long as people are getting to make films, they specifically intend to help people who need calling cards, directors and so on, who don't necessarily have films under their belt, to get those films made and move up the ladder. So at least on its face, it looks like it's something that's going to help people who are coming up in the biz.
Yeah, what you have run into for the last probably 20 years or so is that when you look at the way films get made and how they get put out, you look for the industrial bottlenecks. Mm. And the bottleneck for the last 20 years or 25 years or so has been distribution, because there are only a certain number of theaters. And it's only been in the last 6 months, year, that legitimate distribution through Netflix on your Wii or your PlayStation or
Blu-ray,
your Xbox or whatever, mm-hmm. has opened up the distribution bottleneck. You know, that's why there are the $100 million blockbusters, because you make a movie for $100 million and you take up all of the distribution. It's in every theater to get your money back. You can't make $100 million movies, or even better, $10,000, $100,000 movies,
right,
and then get them out anywhere. Now you can.
Well, then that asks the question, though, how much does that actually help the little guy? Because at a few $100,000, you're not really paying most, if not all, the people on that film enough to make a living on, but they're putting in just as much time as they would on a $100 million
No,
film.
But I think what you are doing with it is you are putting a lot more sauce in the mix.
Sure.
So what happens is before, where you already had to have value before they would give you money, now they can give money to 1,000 people rather than one, or 10,000 people instead of 10.
So it opens doors for people.
It opens doors. But what happens is, for the last couple decades, geniuses couldn't get things made because they didn't have money. Now that we're launching into this $100,000, $250,000 low budget movie thing, you're going to see geniuses popping up everywhere. I think that it's going to be nothing but good for the industry.
So it's going to make it more competitive, but at the same time, it could add a whole lot to this general consciousness of society.
Well, it's going to make it less competitive for the lower money. I mean,
sure.
How hard do you have to compete to be the director or producer behind a $100 million movie? Oh, that's right. You can't compete, because they've already got five guys, and only five guys, that they're going to give $100 million to. So it's actually less competitive, because they're throwing out $100,000, $250,000, air quotes again, guys, willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly's my favorite.
That's what I think is going to happen. That's my prediction.
Well, it's an interesting time in the biz, and it should be interesting to be around for the next 5 to 10 years, assuming the world doesn't end in May. See what happens with all this.
So wait, the world's ending in May?
Yes, I passed a billboard on the way here today, put up by a church, that said that Judgment Day is coming on May 21st of this year, and that we need to repent by then, or that's when the world ends.
I'm busy till then. I really am too. If I can repent by then. That's, wow. Okay.
Well, since I've never repented, how can I repent?
That's a good question.
So now we're going to give a little tip.
Yes.
For those listening to the work. I got a pet peeve, got a little rant. One of the things that you can do to piss me off quickest is to shill to me whatever it is you sell as a part of your survival job. And this goes if you're an actor or a writer or director, producer, manager, agent. And I know people in all these categories who have survival jobs. And hey, I'm not going to hate on that, because I had a survival job up until 2007, and you never once heard me talk about it, because it's nobody's business that you may be at a point in your career where you need support work to allow you to do the artistic thing that you actually came to LA to do, assuming you're in LA or wherever you are. An actor slash writer wanted to make sure that I and all my Facebook friends had the opportunity to take advantage of this one-time opportunity to get an extra $500 to $1,000 a week just by following this link to this website and filling out some information and so on. And I'm not interested in whatever that may be, mainly because it, to me, erodes the brand that this actor slash writer had in my mind as someone that I could use as an actor or writer in a project I'm producing or casting. So while you may look at it and say the reason that Bond hates this survival job thing, don't tell her what you're doing, is because she doesn't want to be bothered with multi-level marketing or whatever, that is that what it's called?
That is what it's called.
The pyramid scheme, or the I don't want to buy your wine at home, or I'm not looking to buy Tupperware or Monavie
or sell your legal services.
To be fair, though, you are not looking for that.
To be fair, I'm not looking for any of that. However, if I were, I wouldn't want to get it from a hobbyist. And that then brings me to the bigger issue, which is as a performer, as an actor, as a writer, as a casting director, agent, manager, what producer, whatever your life is, or whatever it is you want us to believe your life is, if suddenly you dilute your brand by showing us that you also sell wine on the side or do Mary Kay makeovers or whatever, then that's what I start thinking about you instead of thinking about you as a working actor, a working writer, someone who's out there hustling and making it happen. And so I beg you, if you do have to have the survival job, find a way to disclose it to smaller groups of people and maybe not your target buyers.
Yes.
Just tip.
Well, you can only sell to the same person so many times. And if what you're selling to them all of those times is your makeup or your wine or your this or your that instead of your craft, whatever it is, you spoil the pot. If I were, say, a manager and I had to have some really obvious survival job, I would do it in Ventura County or some place where people wouldn't know. I think like an actor who's a server, for example, they have their acting people, their acting clients and contacts, and then they have their restaurant clients who are their guests at the restaurant. And those don't spill over except by happenstance, and that's kind of an acceptable, understandable thing. But if all that actor does is get all of the casting directors and producers and so on that they know to come visit them at the restaurant and tip them well,
then we're never going to hire them as actors.
Because they're our server at our restaurant that we've just discovered
that we
like.
And we love going there, and we'll tip you very well there, and that will be your job. That's not helping you.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. So that's it. That's a quick tip.
Let's get into our not really news.
Yay! I love not really news.
It is not really news that Lindsay Lohan is going to be arrested and put on trial for the felony theft of the necklace.
Yeah, so that is truly not really news.
That is not really news. Lordy, lordy, lordy.
I know. Okay, so nor is it not really news that Charlie Sheen is now speaking out about his rehab stint, tweeting to Entertainment Weekly that he doesn't understand why people are talking about his personal life when there are unending wars going on around the world and that Egypt is falling apart. So, not really news, because, you know, I mean...
I'm so bored.
Friends.
I'm so bored of Charlie Sheen.
Oh, but this is not... And this is the second time in a row, I think this is the second season in a row, that they've had to create a contingency plan for what to do with paying all of the people who work on his show because he's in rehab. Should be interesting, but it's not really news.
I just want to point out that it is sad to me that CBS is making all these contingency plans to pay these things rather than freeing up a little space for the next really great show.
Well, they're ordering additional episodes of Mike and Molly.
I said, speaking really great
of,
show.
Yeah, really. Come on.
Oh, man.
Just no. But you know, they'll always go with what's safe. They'll always go with what's getting numbers. They would rather keep something that, never mind.
I saw an ad for Mike and Molly last night, and it was Mike and Molly in bed together. All right.
Again, I'm sorry.
Pause. And Mike had one of those masks, those sleep apnea devices that were strapped to your head when you sleep.
Yeah, stop snoring thingy.
Stop snoring thing. And I was like, this is on TV.
It's on network.
Is this a reality show?
No.
What is this?
I want to point out that John Goodman and Roseanne were in bed several times during the run of that show.
But you know what? It was a touching story that made a commentary on American life.
And it wasn't until we got to know those characters and cared about them that we got to see them in more intimate moments.
And it was really moving. That's a very good point. And here we are halfway into the first season of Mike and Molly, and they've already met at Overeaters Anonymous.
Because wasn't that the whole premise was they were to meet and fall in love?
Yes.
It's their courtship, and now they're already...
Now they're already in bed and introducing each other's things,
well, as
potential
my wife
deal breakers.
Aware, just because you're in bed together doesn't mean you're in love.
Thanks, hon. One of the things that we've not had are any tweets from our wonderful listeners. And now that our website is up, we want your tweets.
So hit us up
at @_work and let us know what questions you might have for next week's podcast, because it turns out we're basically posting the podcast on the day we're recording it, or within a day.
Yeah, I think that we're going to get this one up tonight.
We're on episode 6 and we're already getting things out same day.
Crazy.
Who knows where we're going to be in another 6 weeks.
Maybe we'll have episodes 1 and 2 done.
I'm serious. Those are going to have to air as the lost episodes
when we take weeks off. Good idea. Meanwhile, tweet us any questions that you'd like us to ask or answer. Yeah. And we will have the lovely Randy Raphael on episode 8 as our special guest. And he'll be talking about how to prepare to move to Los Angeles. That's going to be a great topic. I'm excited to have him on for that.
It'll be wonderful.
It will indeed.
So, until next time, thanks so much for spending your time with us. I'm Ryan Basham. Our producer, engineer, and haysayer is Keith Johnson.
Hey.
And your host is Bonnie Gillespie.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Till next time, keep creating.